Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited about today's episode. Today, I am interviewing Robin Darrow and brought her on because she's a phenomenal person. I just love her so much. She is so inspiring. I have been following her journey for years on Instagram, and she's a friend of mine, but we don't live in the same town. And so I've really just been following her journey on social media, and it's been amazing to follow. And so today, she's coming on the show and she's talking about lots of different things. She's talking about accepting, she's talking about her own journey about accepting her body and coming to a place of compassion and coming to a place of really being in a compassionate dialogue with her body and really navigating healing of disordered eating. And so you might hear this and go, wait, what? Normally we're talking about entrepreneurship, but I brought her on because this is the way she talks about it. And her own journey is something that I think will feel familiar to you, and or something you've heard about through from a friend. But I'm thinking that this is going to resonate in a deep way. That this is an experience for many, many, many people is having difficulty accepting ourselves, our bodies, for what they are, and for who we are. And what's really important about this episode and the conversation that we have is that we're talking about like the foundation work, this foundation work of like really loving and taking care of yourself. And from that place of deep care and deep respect and deep acceptance is affects and influences every other part of your life. And so it may feel at first as we are talking about Robin's journey and talking about diet culture and fat phobia and disordered eating, it might just be like, I don't know that any of this pertains to me, but I want you to hang in there and just listen for the threads that feel familiar. Listen to the thoughts that come through and see if any of those thoughts have ever been your own, and to think about like how they have affected how you have shown up for yourself, how you have shown up for your goals and your dreams as a result of those thoughts, and how you have shown up for the relationships and other aspects of your life, how they have influenced really everything. When we decide to do the work on repairing and healing and loving ourselves and repairing and healing this, relationship, and then loving ourselves through that process, it affects everything. There's a ripple effect. And oftentimes what we experience is empowerment. And from that place of empowerment, we make decisions about ourselves and our life that change everything. And that's exactly Robin's story. And I think you're going to find it super, super inspiring. So I'm going to give you a little info on her background, and then we're going to get right into the interview. So Robin is a mental health therapist and a registered yoga teacher who lives with her husband in Montpelier, Vermont. Robin struggled with Lyme disease, disordered eating, and mental health in her early 20s, which led her to her career helping others with mental health and self-care skills. Robin aims to help young women learn about themselves and what makes them feel good and disregard what society tells them they should be doing. Robin helps women challenge diet culture and fatphobic thinking and helps them learn to love themselves and their bodies and find a more intuitive approach to nourishment and health. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the podcast, Robin. I am so, so excited that you're here. We met, I don't even know how many years ago, but we've met a long time ago, and we've been in each other's like circles, but we didn't really know each other all that well. Like, you took classes at the studio, I was friends with your sister, but we didn't really know each other all that well. And I've actually come to know you in like a deeper way, I feel like, through your Instagram posts. And that's really where this whole idea of bringing you on the show came from, was because I was watching you. And what I see it as like this revolution of you as like really stepping so deeply into yourself. And as you navigated diet culture and body image stuff and disordered eating, and you are in this new place. And what I see is you're in this, and I know it's always a journey, but you're in this place of self-acceptance. Like, you've come to a whole nother place in the way that you live in are in the world. And so I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk to her. I just want to talk to you about how did you make this happen? I'm so curious, for one, around personal transformation stories, because they are the most inspiring, because we're always, all of us are on a journey and like we get stuck and it's like we need these people, other people, to show us the way. And the other reason I'm super interested in your story is that it's very personal for me, because this is something I feel very much in still. I feel so much healthier than I've ever been, but I still feel very tied into diet culture, fat phobia, all the things. And it's been a big part of my life. So I'm excited to talk with you about this today. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I want to begin by reading some quotes that are from your Instagram feed.
Okay.
And these are either your own words or they are from other people that you shared their posts, but they're the ones that just really like, whoa, they are just really kind of stuck out to me. Okay, here they go. As you move away from diet culture, not everybody is going to understand. This is okay. Gaining weight doesn't mean you're a failure. That one really hit me. In a society that continues to only value a body based on what it looks like, give yourself permission to value how yours functions above all else. Being alive and living vibrantly are two different things. There was a picture of a woman in one of your posts, and there's something where she's like holding a sign that says about something about letting herself go. And then she's holding up another sign and she says, nope, I just let go of diet culture and started living my life. I loved that so much. I am so proud that I have stopped putting my life on hold for a scale. And the last one is recovery is possible. So this is where I see, like, when I read that, I go, oh my God, it so resonates. And like, this is where you are now and what you're thinking and feeling and like what you're currently living. But where did your journey begin? Like, what did that look like?
Good question. So I'm sorry, I'm getting over a little cold. So if I have a cough or anything, that's why.
No problem.
But yeah, I would say, I mean, it started when I was like, you know, 12, like most, like a lot of kids, you know, like, I remember one of my parents' friends commenting on my body and saying like, oh, you're so tall and thin. Maybe you'll be a model one day. And that was like one of my first memories of being like, oh, okay. So I'm going to stay thin because that's good. That equals good. And that equals approval and attention and success. And so I feel like it started way back then. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really struggle with disordered eating until my, like, I would say like 19 or 20, when I went to college, I was on the track team and I started gaining a bit of weight and was just like a lot of girls on the track team and boys probably were struggling with disordered eating. And I just started to witness that and kind of fall into it with them. Like, oh, this girl's thinner than me and she's running faster. Like maybe mm-hmm. if I lose a little weight, I'll have a better time or I'll jump higher.
And what is disordered eating? Like, how would you describe that? What does it look like?
Well, I would say it's kind of what can lead up to an eating disorder. So I say disordered eating when I mean like skipping meals or counting calories or trying to eat, you know, restrict certain foods and eat, like have food fears and all that. And I think when it gets to the point, like that often turns into a full-blown eating disorder. But I think I talk about disordered eating like kind of before it gets to that eating disorder point. Which I think, like, I don't even know, like 80% of people in the world struggle with disordered eating. I feel like anybody who goes on a diet, like that's disordered eating, I think.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, like if you're not intuitively eating what you want and listening to your hunger cues and your fullness cues, like that, I think is disordered eating.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
And I think like, and I want to get back to your story, but I think a lot of that comes from, we're not taught intuitively how to eat. And it's just this outside perspective of like, oh, well, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do to look thin or to be faster or whatever it is. And so we get screwed up on like, when are we actually hungry? When am I full? Like, it's all confusing.
Yep. Yep. We forget how to listen to our bodies. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're on the track team And you're noticing this in yourself and in others.
Yeah. And I think it was like sophomore, junior year of college, I like started to really restrict my food and I lost weight and people made comments like, oh, you look so good. Like, you look so, you know, you're so jacked, you know, and like, cause my muscles were showing more and, you know, that validates it even more. And you're like, cause they don't know you're restricting. They think you're just naturally looking thin. And so that makes it even worse because you're like, okay, I gotta keep doing this because people think I look good. Like, you know.
Do you remember how you felt in your body at that time?
Yeah, I do. I was very insecure. Mm-hmm. And I still, no matter how thin I got or how much weight I lost or how much muscle I gained, I still felt like I needed to lose more weight or needed to tone up or needed to be a different size or a different weight. So yeah, I didn't feel good. And I remember like feeling lightheaded and faint and just not feeling like myself and feeling really like that. I think that's when I started to struggle with mental health, like anxiety and depression, like thinking back on it. I think that's when I started to struggle mentally too, because I was stressed out and not feeling good.
You weren't feeling good. And was there also this just like this pressure to keep it up?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so that was kind of up and down. Like, I think when I started dating Ben, who's my current husband, he helped a little bit. He helped a lot because he was eating normally and like, he loved my curves and he was like, oh yeah. Like, so I think he helped. Like, I started eating more when I started dating him. And then shortly after college, I got diagnosed with Lyme. Mm-hmm. And my doctor told me not to eat any gluten or any sugar, meaning like no fruit, no honey, no, like I started reading labels and like anything that had any sugar in it, I wouldn't eat. So sugar and gluten is like, those are two major food groups. So that made it 100 times worse. And I started being really anxious around like all food and thinking like I had to eat a certain way in order to like feel better and get rid of my Lyme disease. And I was still obsessed with like being thin and looking good. And I couldn't work out because I had Lyme disease. Yeah. So that also made it harder because I was like, oh crap, I can't work out. So now I have to like find other ways to be thin.
And what were those other ways?
I'm just like eating less and eating perfectly, like having like fruits and vegetables and lean meats and like no sugar or gluten or unhealthy, bad junk food foods.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And I just didn't really realize, like I was really thin at that point and I just didn't, it didn't really click. I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do to be healthy. And
and what kind of input were you getting from other people during that time?
It's interesting. At that point, I was so thin that people started saying other things like, oh, you're so thin. Are you okay? Like, I'm worried about you. Like, you know, you lost your curves. Like, what's going on? So mm-hmm. that was interesting because it's like people want you to be this perfect size.
Yes.
And if you're too big, it's not okay. And if you're too small, it's not okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I think of. And like, and when you hit it, if you get it just right, is like when you feel this acceptance. Cause I know like when I have been different, I've fluctuated in sizes like all my life. And there was a point where I was like on the smaller size and I was not healthy for one, like it, I was not in a healthy way at all, but my mm-hmm. family and other people really celebrated it.
Yeah.
And, being thin is really important in my family and being small. And it was always like, oh, look at Amanda. How do you do that? You know, there was like a lot of questions and a lot of like spotlighting and that was super uncomfortable. And this pressure that I have felt, and it sounds like you have felt too, of just like maintaining that because there was this like, oh, everyone was really happy with that. But I felt really lousy on the inside. Like I was really sick. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. And that pressure to just like keep coming back to that point. But then if you go like, and then I got too thin and then it was like the same exact thing. Like, oh, something wrong. And then it's like, oh yeah. It's crazy making.
Hard to come back to normal or like, yeah, it's
yeah.
hard. Yeah. The people's comments, like I make a point to never, ever, ever, ever come on anyone's body ever.
Yeah.
Like I learned that because it's, you have no idea what you're validating or what you're saying. If they're, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know why they lost weight or why they gained weight. And it's just none of your business. So
it really isn't. Yeah. So what was the tipping point for you then?
So, okay. So the story continues. I struggled with Lyme disease for years, or, you know, Lyme disease and other mysterious illnesses and hormonal stuff and mental health. And it got to the point where I was so worried about what I was eating and so convinced that certain foods would heal me that I became vegan. And then I got into this, I don't know if you've heard of Medical Medium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I found him and I was like, oh my God, this guy's gonna, he's healing people and I need to listen to everything he says and do exactly what he says. So I started basically doing these like cleanses, these raw vegan cleanses, like every month or two, where for like a week or two straight, I would only drink juice, like fruit juice, vegetable juice, and eat raw fruits and vegetables. And that's all I had. So I'd have like, you know, a smoothie for breakfast, salad for lunch. And then like, I was making these cucumber noodles with like spinach sauce. It was disgusting. But that was in like 2019 was like when it got really, really bad. After like a year of doing those crazy cleanses, I started losing my hair and breaking out really like horrible acne, like all over my jawline and face and back. And I lost my period for a little bit and just all kinds of like, I had like cystic breasts and like just all kinds of like very clear new symptoms that I never had before that were very hormone related. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, crap. I'm 29 years old. I want to have babies soon. Like what the heck am I doing? This is not good for my body. And that, so like fall of 2019, I started trying to eat more and I was still vegan, but I started to try to eat more cooked foods and like more calories. And I was terrified of fats, but I started eating more fats and it was really hard.
What was going on? Like, can you remember your thoughts during that time? Like what was going on for you on the inside?
Yeah. So I was so like Medical Medium was felt like almost like a cult. So I was kind of brainwashed and I convinced myself that anything that wasn't like a fruit or a vegetable was unhealthy and it was going to like harm me. Or like, it wasn't even about weight at that point. It was really about like health, just obsession with health. Have you heard of orthorexia?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's like not an official diagnosis yet.
Will you describe that in case someone hasn't heard of it?
Yeah. So it's not like anorexia or bulimia. It's not like an official diagnosis in the diagnostic book yet, but it's basically an obsession with health to the point where it leads to being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So anybody that has like a very severe addiction to exercise, like can't miss a day of workout, otherwise they'll have like a panic attack, or like anybody that's like has a really, really strict diet and is scared of certain foods. And so that was me. That was like, I was terrified of like all foods. Because I just thought that they were bad and thought they would hurt me or cause symptoms. So I had to convince myself.
Yeah. How did you bridge that gap?
It was hard. I was in therapy, so that helped. And my husband, Ben, helped a lot because he's always eaten like, you know, a normal diet. And like, so I kind of tried to just like have some more meals with him, which helped. And I just kind of gave myself time. Like I took it slow and I unfollowed. So I'm like, you know, I'm on social media a lot and I unfollowed every single Medical Medium vegan person that I could find. So like a few months later, I realized like, okay, this is a full blown eating disorder and I need to recover. Like I need to learn how to recover from my eating disorder. So then I started researching eating disorder recovery and found all these awesome recovery coaches and advocates and body positive people. And so I started following all of them and that really helped because I saw people eating intuitively and working on recovery and bodies that weren't these like scrawny, super fit yogis. And like I unfollowed anybody that was triggering and found all these awesome people. So that helped a lot. And I told, like, I posted about it and I told everyone, like, all right, I'm in recovery. Like, this is my goal, is to recover and eat more foods. And
what was it like for you to name it and then share it with everyone?
It was scary, like, but it also felt really good and like honest and real and like well overdue. Mm-hmm, like, because I felt like I had to share, because in the previously I'd been sharing like, everyone should be vegan and eat raw foods and that's how you get healthy and like this is the best and I'm feeling great. So I felt like I had to go back and be like, just kidding, guys. I lost the period. My hair's falling out. This is not good. Don't do this. So I felt like I owed it to my followers and like people that knew what I was doing to be like, no, I was doing it wrong, guys. Just
eat. What was the response that you got?
Mostly very positive. Like, so many followers at that time were going through the exact same thing as I was. Like, people that had been on the medical medium protocol and been vegan for like years were noticing the same things and being like, wait a minute, this is not healing me. This is making things worse. Wow. So I got a lot of people being like, oh my God, I'm so glad you're posting about this. This is so true. Like, this is me too. And then there were a few people that around that time were also posting about orthorexia. And then a few of the very strict medical medium people that were, I think, making money from like, oh, being a medical medium coach, were posting about like how orthorexia is, like, medical medium's not orthorexia. We're just healing. And so there was a little pushback from certain people being like, you know, eating raw vegan is not orthorexic. I'm like, I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to take a moment and just like, holy cow, it's so brave that not only did you step into this journey for yourself, but you put yourself out there and said, actually, this isn't working. And here's what I'm doing to change. And this is the path I'm in. That's like, oh my God, so brave.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And super inspiring.
180.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what happened from that point? What did you begin to notice or feel?
So I slowly started eating more animal products, and I'm still dealing with food fears and, like, you know, my inner critic being like, you shouldn't eat that. That's unhealthy. You should have this instead. But it's gotten so much better. But yeah, it took me a long time, like months and months and months, to be able to like eat out with friends and not have anxiety about it.
Yeah.
But I noticed, you know, I started gaining weight right away, which was hard because then it, you know, triggered that also, that body image and other side of the eating disorder, which was like, yeah, this eating disorder is making you stay really thin and fit looking. So that was really, really hard. But I just knew, I was like, all right, like 35, 40-year-old Robin is going to want a different life. Like, you can't keep eating this way and you can't keep like having every thought in your mind the whole day about food. Like, you have to live your life. And so that was, I just kept that in my mind. Like, you have to recover. You're going to have babies, you're going to have a healthy family. Like, you have to just like eat regular food. In 2020, I gained like 60 pounds. And then in 2021, I gained like another 20. So it was a lot. And like, none of my clothes fit. I had to buy all new clothes. And it was really, it's still hard. It's still really hard being in a new body, but I'm really glad that I stuck with it.
Yeah. Right. One of the things I think about is, I want to dig into this a bit more around our diet cultures. There's so much emphasis on being thin primarily and being healthy. And I find it confusing to know what your healthy weight is. That's not something that is often talked about. I mean, you can talk about with BMI or whatever, but like generally, like, how do you know when you're at that healthy weight? Like, how do you judge that for yourself? Like, when you are in a place that feels healthy?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say when you have more energy, when you sleep well, when you have a warm body, like your toes and your nose and your ears aren't like cold all the time, when you're not thinking about food all the time, when your mental health is better, like it's feeling good, and when you can eat whatever you want when you're hungry without anxiety, and when you can move your body in a way that feels good and you feel strong. Notice nothing I'm saying has to do with a number or a size or whatever your body looks like. So I really don't think, like, everybody's so different. And like, I don't think, like, this dietitian that I saw was asking me what was the weight I felt my best at? Cause she was basically saying I was overweight. And I was like, I don't know. Like, back when I didn't weigh myself and I was eating intuitively and moving my body in a way that felt good, like, I have no idea what my weight was, and
yeah,
I shouldn't care. Like, I don't know.
Right. Just really basing on how you feel, not so much the number. Yeah.
Right.
So what is intuitive eating?
So intuitive eating has kind of gone into this big thing, and there's like books about it and stuff. My definition of it is like being able to listen to your hunger cues and your fullness cues and honoring those, and eating all food groups, not having like the goal, like once you reach intuitive eating, is to not have any food fears. So like, for instance, when I'm hungry and I have this food in my kitchen that's like might be a salad or like a grass-fed burger with sauteed kale, and I'm like, all right, I really don't want this freaking meal again that I think is really healthy. I really want a freaking pizza. And so instead of forcing myself to eat that grass-fed lean burger with the kale, like I do, like I have many times before, I'm going to honor that craving or that intuition and say, okay, tonight I'm going to have this pizza from this yummy local sourdough pizza place. So I think it's just like getting in touch with your intuition and say, like, not forcing yourself to eat certain foods because you think they're healthy, but allowing yourself to have all the foods, like cookies, packaged foods, processed foods, like, because the idea is that intuitive eating won't allow, like, you're not going to want to constantly eat McDonald's and ice cream and cookies every night. But if you do allow yourself to have McDonald's and ice cream and cookies a few nights, then you won't have those cravings anymore. And then the next night, maybe you'll want your kale and burger again, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to let myself, have ice cream in the freezer and a chocolate bar because I was craving those things so much. And I would like eat the whole chocolate bar. And now I always have ice cream and chocolate bars, and I have them in my pantry for weeks and I don't eat them because I allowed myself to eat them. And now I don't go crazy over them anymore.
Right. I totally get that. Do you think it's more of a mental craving or a physical craving when you're feeling that?
I think it's both. I think when I was depriving myself and having no protein or fats, and I was only having fruits and vegetables, my body needed fat. It needed protein. It needed, you know, nutrients from those animal products. So I think that was physical. But I think a lot of it is mental. Like, if you don't allow yourself chips or cookies or whatever it is that you're not allowing yourself, that's what you're going to want. And you won't be able to stop thinking about that until you let yourself have it, you know, or until you're at a party and somebody else has it. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
I don't usually let myself have this at home, but I'm going to eat the whole bowl right now.
Totally. Oh my God. I'm like that person who stands by the chips and dip like the whole time.
Yeah. So
I'm like,
Yeah.
This makes me think of like when we're talking about intuitive eating and or just allowing yourself to like your body to change sizes, right? Like I've noticed since I turned 40, I'm going to be 43 at the end of the month. And I've noticed since I've been in my 40s, my body has very much changed. And I've definitely had there in this period of my life, but also in other periods of my life where the thought has come through of, I wonder if people think I've let myself go. Right. And it's not like a very common thought, but I've felt it. And I know that this is something that I think that thought is there for me because it's something I've heard so many times where if your body has changed, whereas like maybe you're not as like we were talking about the definition of your muscles, it's not as apparent, or you have a baby, you know, and like, it's just your body changes. Like it's just going to happen, but there's this pressure because of what we see in media, especially of celebrities who in quotes get their body back after they have a baby, that if you don't do that, you've let yourself go.
Right.
And where does that even come from for one, but like, what is that doing to us as women?
I think it's controlling us and it's making us spend money on diets and smoothies and workouts. And, you know, like, I think it's partly capitalism and partly, what do you call it? When men do mean things to women.
Like misogynistic.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think it started a long time ago when, you know, women started to have more rights and freedoms. And we were like, nope. We're going to make your main focus trying to look as beautiful as possible. And we're going to make that ideal so unrealistic that it'll ruin your life and you'll be miserable.
Yeah. I think the one thing that isn't talked about very much and definitely is not demonstrated to us through television, movies, those kinds of things, is that your body kind of goes through lots of changes and it looks differently. And that is completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there really isn't much around that. Like, I don't feel like that's something that we see very often because mm-hmm. the thinness, the fitness level is often what's celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think like needs the messaging should be changing to? Like, what do you think it needs to be around?
Oh boy. I think we need to focus more on our mental health.
mm-hmm.
And we just need to celebrate different bodies, you know, like challenge that diet culture mentality of like thin equals healthy and fat equals unhealthy, you know, because that's not true. but it's going to be very, very hard because yeah. it's so ingrained. And I think it is slowly changing. Like I see a huge difference in like my parents' generation, how they think about bodies and health and food and like my generation. And then like, even like teenagers today, like they're still really, there's more eating disorders than ever, uh-huh. but they're also like, you know, they know about body positivity. They know about body shaming and they're aware of it and they challenge people on it. And so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. That is a very good, there's so much more awareness about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you mentioned that like, never talking about anybody's body. And I think that that is such a, like a great thing to just live by that we don't even mention mm-hmm. it all. How can we talk about each other's bodies in loving ways and like really acknowledging like them?
It's a good question. I mean, I would try to stick to just never, ever commenting on anybody's body.
Never about anything.
You can say, you look so happy or like, mm-hmm. you know, like you look so like satisfied and, you know, lively and energetic and, you know, you can still comment on maybe their appearance or their energy or their, what they're giving off, but I would just try to not comment on anyone's body.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And I'm thinking as you're sharing that, you know, I have a 6-year-old daughter and I hear a lot people commenting on her, not in terms of thinness, but in terms of you're so tall or yeah. I love your dress or your hair. And I
yeah.
often it comes to mind that like, oh, that is such an external focus. Like anytime we're bringing that focus to the what's on the outside, what's appearing to other people, that becomes the thing we think matters the most.
And right.
So I think about that a lot. And I've often thought like, ooh, what am I saying in this moment when somebody is totally just acknowledging what her she's wearing? Because I definitely feel that. You have insights yeah. on that?
Yeah. Yeah. It would be hard for me as like a people pleasing person that doesn't want to like step on anybody's toes to if I had a 6-year-old daughter and somebody was commenting on her body or her clothes to challenge that in the moment. But I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, but it's so hard because people don't get it. People don't get it because it's so normal to do that, mm-hmm. you know, but I guess just maybe having a conversation with her afterwards, if you're not comfortable confronting that person, or maybe having a conversation with them afterwards about just, you know, how that stuff doesn't matter and what we really are excited about you is your energy and your skills and your love and, you know, all those other things. And hopefully more and more people will recognize that that's, you yeah. know, not okay to comment on, you know, I mean, it's just,
yeah. And I think so much
harmful, you know,
it's very harmful. Cause I'm thinking about like this diet culture thing. It's like, it is ingrained in us. Mm-hmm. It's not something so much we're seeking out. It mm-hmm. like comes to us mm-hmm. and we are really absorbed in it from a very young age, and we have to do the work of peeling ourselves away from it.
Right. Yeah. It's really hard. I had to convince myself, because I was so fat phobic for my whole life. I was like, thought that people that were overweight were so unhealthy and such a concern. And I had to completely change that and convince myself that it was okay and healthy to be fat, you know, in order for myself to not freak out about gaining a bunch of weight and eating certain foods. And it was hard. It was so hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that just is like going completely against what you've been taught, what we've all been taught.
Yeah. I know. I'm so aware of it now. And now when I watch like TV shows or movies, there's so much fat phobia and it's so blatant and horrible. Mm-hmm. I like immediately stop the movie or the show and I'm like, okay, new show.
Right. Right. Like, you don't want to take that in anymore.
No.
So I think that this is interesting because it's like, I don't know that, you know, everyone is all, that we're all have the awareness that we're kind of under the spell of mm-hmm. diet culture. Like, how can you just talk about, like, how do you know when you are kind of following that kind of path?
Yeah.
I guess maybe it goes back to what you said before about like obsessing about what you're eating, weighing yourself. I guess, is it all of those things?
Yeah. I mean, it can even be, it's so common. Like, I'm so aware of it now, but when I was first starting to be aware of it, you know, like some of my friends and family members still, like every meal or every day or every holiday, there's just so many comments about, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to let myself eat as much as I want tonight. Or, oh, I'm going to have like more than one cookie tonight. Or, oh, I'm going to work this off tomorrow, so don't worry about it. Like, don't be, oh, January is coming up. I got to start working out more. Like, I got to get my summer body. Like, there's just constant comments. So, like, that right there, somebody might not have an eating disorder or, like, an addiction to exercise, but they're definitely having a lot of diet culture thoughts, and it's deeply affecting them, you know?
Yeah. So how can you insulate yourself? Like, what can we do to really, I think of it as protecting ourselves, but also creating the awareness and doing something differently. How do we go about that?
Oh, it's hard. I mean, I think just kind of doing some research and like, what is it? The Health at Every Size movement. My sister helped me like share that material with my family members that were like being judgmental and difficult. And just, yeah, doing research. And my friend's mom, she's always sending me these awesome articles on like Health at Every Size and like anti-fat phobia. And like, there's some really good research out there and about like how, you know, just because you're overweight doesn't mean you're unhealthy. And that, like, so I think just kind of checking the facts helped me mm-hmm. a lot. And just kind of getting really real and honest with yourself and all the thoughts and disordered thoughts that you've let diet culture take over. Yeah. You know?
And I really liked what you said early on about unfollowing the people that felt toxic in terms of like, that wasn't the messaging you wanted to take in, or that wasn't the bodies you wanted to look at, like all of that. Like, we don't want to, So I think that's super good to unfollow. And like you said too, that you began to follow people who had more body positivity messages and mm-hmm. like were working against this diet culture.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are aware of it and are fighting against it and educating people and challenging those ideals. And yeah.
So where are you on your journey right now? Like, what's life look like for you right now? How are you feeling?
So I'm working full time at a mental health agency, which is very demanding and stressful. So I'm very excited to be almost done with that. So I think I've been pretty stressed, which obviously affects your, you know, health and your mental health. And, but other than that, I feel like I'm at a place, a really good place in my recovery and my health and my mental health. And I'm 14 weeks pregnant.
Congratulations. Oh,
thank you. Amazing. Almost 15 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
I got my wish. Like, that was one of my things that helped me get through recovery. I was like, all right, I gotta fuel my body so that I can like create a human.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. It has been definitely challenging in terms of like nausea and eating and just continuing to, I'm noticing more, like I still have those eating disorder thoughts, like, oh, like you shouldn't be eating this much, or you shouldn't eat that, you should eat this. Mm-hmm. So I think pregnancy has made that even more apparent, because I'm like, no, Robin, you really do need to eat this much. Like, you're feeding a baby and it needs to be healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and your body is very clear when you're pregnant about what it wants.
Yes.
And what it doesn't. I feel like that's an experience of intuitive eating for sure. So what would you like to share with the person who might be going, who might be in a similar place that you were in? What would you like to share with them? Any words of wisdom you'd like to share?
Yeah. I would just say, you know, it's going to be okay. You can do this. You can recover. You can be happy. You can have a life that's not surrounded by food fear and anxiety and fear of weight gain. And you can do this.
You can do this. You can do this. And I love when those quotes that I was sharing earlier, one of your messages was that recovery is possible. Like, mm-hmm. I loved that message. That this, if you are in a place that is disordered eating, food fear, that kind of place, that you, there is another way. Recovery mm-hmm. is possible.
It is. Yeah. And it's really, really hard to remember that, because it's like, eating disorders are so tough. I think they're one of the toughest mental illnesses to recover from, you know, because it's so, it gets so, that eating disorder voice gets so strong and convincing. And I think a lot of people are like in quasi recovery, where they know they need to recover, but it's so freaking hard that they can't. So they're like eating some things and eating a little more, but still not fully letting themselves eat intuitively and gain weight. And so it's really, really hard, but it is possible. And it is so, so worth it.
So worth it. And also the quote about not being a failure if you gain weight, or if you're going up and down with weight, like the whole journey. I mean, journeys are never linear. So there's going to be ups and downs, and no matter what, you're not a failure.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. If anything, you're doing a good job.
Yeah. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to touch on?
I guess just more of the mental health side of it, you know, because I am a mental health therapist, and, you know, how important that is, and how much all this stuff that we've talked about can just make you so miserable and depressed and suicidal and anxious and panic attacks, and just all the mental health side of it is so serious and scary. And so just don't be afraid to get help and get a therapist, you know, preferably one that's not ingrained in diet culture and that is aware of eating disorders and recovery and health at every size and all that.
And I'll post a link to Health at Every Size movement. And if you have other places where people can go, we'll link those up too.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. Are you ready to move to rapid fire questions?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a few more minutes. Okay. Robin, what is your idea of a perfect evening?
Ooh, good question. Well, it's summertime, so I'm thinking of like, you know, a late afternoon evening swim, because I love swimming, especially when it's hot. And then maybe like going out to dinner not having to cook with my husband and just like having a fun, relaxing meal and going to bed early and getting lots of good sleep.
Oh, I love that. That's totally my kind of evening. All right. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
Ooh, good question. I think doing things like when I was preparing for this podcast and like rewatching all the recovery and like that recovery people that I follow and everything, I got like really inspired. I was like, yeah, yeah. Cause sometimes like I'm still in recovery. It's so hard. Sometimes I lose my way and I forget why I'm doing this and I forget how awesome it is to recover. So I feel like just talking to people about it and continuing to research about it helps me feel inspired and like I'm doing such a good thing and educating people and working with my clients and like seeing their progress is awesome too. Makes me feel good.
Yeah, you're doing amazing work and like people are noticing, right? Like it's, you're making a big impact with what you're doing.
Thank you.
What is bringing you joy right now?
Oh, I would say my little baby that's going to come this winter and my husband is very supportive and wonderful and talking about this challenging, awesome new stuff, challenging diet culture and,
totally. That's really cool. Okay, what was the last show you binge watched?
Ooh, well, I watch a lot of TV, especially during the pandemic, and I recently started Seinfeld from the beginning.
Oh, Seinfeld. That's so fun!
Yeah, because like I've seen Friends and New Girl and like all those kinds of shows, and it's been fun to watch like an older show. It's silly, but it's fun.
Totally, that's really fun. Yeah. Have you done that with The Office?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love The Office. I feel like those shows, Seinfeld, Office, they just don't get old. They're like,
yeah, no, and they make you feel good. Like,
mm-hmm. What book are you currently reading? If you're reading a book,
I'm kind of very slowly reading this silly book called Beach Read. Forget the author. It's like a total, because you know, in my work, I like read a lot of like educational books and therapy books. So I wanted just like a silly romantic beach read. So it's literally called Beach Read.
That's really fun to just get absorbed in those stories. I totally love that too.
Yeah, I love romance.
What song are you listening to on repeat right now?
Oh, so I kind of overdid it, but the past few months I've been listening to what is it even? What's the title? You've probably heard it. I think it's I Am Woman.
Oh,
I had it in one of my reels. Like, I forget who the singer is.
I think I know who it is.
It's so good. I listened to it like, Emmy Melly. M-E-L-I. I Am Woman. It's so good.
All right. I don't know if it's the same song I'm thinking of. I'm excited to listen to that.
It's so good. Yeah.
Okay, if you had a megaphone that could reach the whole world, what would you say?
Oh boy. Oh my gosh. I would say I don't know. Treat everyone with the kindness and respect they deserve. Something like that.
Something like that. That's beautiful. And so true and so needed. Okay, last question. What are you grateful for right now?
Oh, I'm grateful for working from home and going on walks and yoga and doing a little yoga in the middle of the day and not having to be at the office and talking to an old friend about cool stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I feel so grateful for this time with you for sure. Thank you so much. And it's the best to reconnect with you. And I'm so happy for you. And like, you're doing amazing work. I can't wait to see where your work takes you, what happens next for you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Amanda. It's so wonderful to be here. And thank you for all your empowerment and compliments, and made me feel so good. So
yeah, of course. Now, if where can people follow you if they want to be in touch with you?
So basically the only social media I really use is Instagram. So you can find me at Robin_Idoline. So it's Robin _IDOLENE.
Okay. And I'll link to that too.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so, so much. I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed learning from you. This has given me a lot to think about. So thank you. And I think it will be great for the women who are listening as well.
Yes. Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear further podcasts.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Robin.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, if you're ready to cultivate the mindset and skills needed to live life on your own terms and make a meaningful impact at the same time, then I want you to sign up for a consultation call where we will explore what you want and what's stopping you. We'll also talk about how working with me can quantum leap your results and your life. All you need to do is head over to soulcareclub.com/schedule to book your free call. I look forward to talking with you soon.